Hi everyone, I'm Liam and welcome to another episode of Exploring the NQS, a bonus series from the Early Education Show exclusively for our Patreon supporters. So if you're listening to this, that means you're supporting the main show, which means I want to start with a big thank you. The main show will always be free, but those of you who choose to actually support us financially really, really help us out. So in this series, Exploring the NQS, I take a look at one element of the National Quality Standard, one at a time, until we've sort of looked at all 40. My background is as an early childhood educator and teacher and centre director, and I currently oversee professional learning and development for Northside Community Service, a not-for-profit early education provider based in Canberra. All right, let's get started with this week's episode. This week, it's element 1.2.1, Intentional Teaching. It's part of Quality Area 1, Educational Program and Practice, and it's the first element of Standard 1.2, Practice. The description for this element is, educators are deliberate, purposeful, and thoughtful in their decisions and actions. All right, so what's it all about? This element is really getting to the idea about, this is really focusing on educators and teachers, and it's sort of, you know, at its most basic level, it's that educators know what they're doing and why they're doing it. That's really the one sentence that breaks everything down. And we've talked, obviously, in the previous three elements that means everything that's happening. The program, the curriculum is everything that's happening from the moment the doors open to the last child heads off for the day. So that includes environments, programs, planned activities, interactions, and relationship building. So intentional teaching, this is really about the core of the work that educators are doing with children in children's services. All right, let's take a look at this element in practice. This is one of my favourite sort of topics when thinking about both the National Quality Standard and the Early Years Learning Framework. For those who are familiar with the EYLF and My Time, My Place, the curriculum for school age care, intentional teaching is one of the practices that we're expected to follow in the work we do, one of the eight key practices. So, and to me, this one's really about, you know, professional identity. This one is really demonstrating in the curriculum document and in the National Quality Standard that educators are valuable and important, and they're a key part of the learning process with children. You know, child-directed learning is really important, and I think the next element is actually directly related to that. And we do need to be informed by children and be led by children and be co-constructors of learning with children. But we also can't discount the role we play. We play a huge role in this. All educators under the National Quality Framework have to be qualified. You have to at least be studying, which means that people are learning and building skills that they need to support children's learning and well-being. So we really need to make sure we're not undervaluing ourselves. And this element is a really huge part of that. But let's, you know, break it down a bit. In practice, in terms of intentional teaching, there's sort of two parts of this for me to really sort of generalize it and break it down. Intentional planning and then intentional decisions. So intentional planning is, you know, really thinking about that. Why are we doing what we're doing? What thought is going into, what reflections, what discussions, what planning is going into our environment, the planned activities, even things like rosters for educators and maybe supporting individual children that require you know, specific help or support. It's important to remember that doesn't necessarily mean a diagnosis or a behaviour issue. All children require individual support at different times, just as, you know, all educators, all adults require individual support at different times. But the planning part of it is kind of, you know, that's when we're thinking about, you know, what we're setting up before the children maybe arrive for the day, although of course we do planning while children are with us as well. And this is a great thing to connect particularly to goals for children. If we go back to Standard 1 program, we were sort of talking about, you know, what do we know about children and what are we planning for them to learn and develop and grow, you know, looking at Standard 1.2 practice. We're really looking at then connecting our practice to those goals for children. What are we doing that's supporting children's learning and well-being? How are we supporting children to reach maybe the specific goals we have for them, as well as the learning outcomes? So intentional planning is kind of one half of the coin for me. And then the second half is intentional decisions. So that's our decision-making as we go through the day. And there's some fantastic research about educators who particularly work with young children about the huge amount of decisions we make all through the day. You know, how will we manage a particular activity, how will we support a particular child, when will we intervene, when will we stand back, when will we become involved in a child's play, and when won't we? When will we support children to manage their own conflicts and issues, or when will we step in? you know, that they're the sort of practice-based decisions, but even things like when will we start lunch, when will we support children to move through routine times, we make a huge amount of decisions during the day. So the intentional teaching part of that is really what are the purpose behind those decisions. I think this is a particularly good one to think about with transitions. When will we decide to, how will we support children to come in and out of different parts of the day, to meal times, to toileting, those kind of things. There's a lot of intentionality about how we make those decisions. We can make them quite short and brusque and very adult-focused, or we can make an intentional decision to make them very child-focused, to slow down, to give ourselves more time to, you know, worry less about the end goal and worry more about the experience. You know, the cliche is, you know, it's the journey, not the destination. And it's a cliche for a reason, because it's quite good. You want to be thinking about those opportunities for children to learn during those times. Also, particularly when we're responding to questions and provocations from children. This is a real, and I remember, you know, when I was a new educator, when I first became a team leader, this was something I remember a mentor of mine really talking me through, which is, you know, every time a child asks you a question or has an issue, that's a real opportunity for intentional teaching. And that's a huge challenge, because we have so much going on during the day, and we're human beings, and we can be busy and frustrated, and we do have so many things to get done. But for the child right in front of you, they're just thinking about this particular question they have or a concern they have. There's a huge opportunity there for our decision making about intentional teaching to, well, can we support children to learn something from this experience, or do we need to put it aside for later? It is a really important, again, and this is the theme I'm going to be coming back to during all 40 of these episodes, is also not to beat ourselves up. We can't get this right every single time. It's an unrealistic expectation that for, you know, the, assuming you're doing, you know, like a full day shift for the 8.5 hours you're with children, that every single decision you're making is perfect and will support, you know, the most amazing outcomes for children. Of course not. But it's about at least acknowledging and thinking, and a strategy I particularly like to do when we are busy. It's almost like we're not allowed to be busy in centres. We are, is, you know, at least going to the child, look, I can't have that discussion right now. Can we talk about it later? Can you write down the question, or can I write it down for you? Can you do a drawing about the question? Is there an educator over there who can ask, who you could ask as well? Giving yourself permission to, because that's still intentional. There's still intentionality behind that decision. So those are the sort of two halves of that, which is the intentional planning behind what we're doing, how we're setting up, you know, the space for learning, and then those decisions during the day. And that's a good you know, idea when you think about the day you have. Maybe the next time you're in your service, is think about how many decisions you make during a day and your interactions and engagement with children. It's pretty fascinating. The other thing that's really important here for me in the intentional teaching space is thinking about it from a social justice perspective. So for those who aren't too familiar with social justice principles, we're really thinking about the equity and the ethical intent behind particular things, and particularly a great question or a set of questions that are embedded in the early years learning framework, which is who is advantaged by these by what we do, and who is disadvantaged. So for me, for intentional teaching, is a really important part of this. This is where we can do some really important social justice work. Because the question I always ask educators when I talk about intentional teaching is, you know, if we're only led by children's interests, and I hear that a lot when I interview educators, I often hear them say, well, I'm just led by children's interests. And that's great, and that's part of what we do. But the question then becomes, from a social justice perspective, is what are we not exploring if we're only following children's interests? You know, the children aren't necessarily going to bring us particular activities or experiences that will enable us to look at some really big issues and questions. Maybe things like Indigenous perspectives. If you're part of a community that has, you know, low or no, you know, Indigenous connection or Indigenous children and families attending the service, this isn't something that might come up. But it's really important, from my point of view, as an intentional teacher and educator, that we look at these issues, and that's okay. There doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to plan an activity, you know, every time a child comes up to you with a particular interest. You're a qualified educator, you're a qualified professional. You're allowed to bring these things to us. So this is a big part of it for me, is the intentional teaching is kind of the flip side, or sitting alongside being led by children's interests. And they are mutually exclusive. They sit alongside each other. But this is where we hold ourselves high as professionals. We can make decisions about why we're doing what we're doing. And again, it comes down to the intentionality behind it. We shouldn't just do things because, you know, maybe we just think they're interesting, or we think we'll get something out of it, as long as we know there's intentionality, that we know children's learning and well-being is supported. That's a really important thing to consider. All right, as we do every episode of this series, we're going to be finishing off with suggestions for nominated supervisors, so people leading and managing teams, and a couple of ideas for your quality improvement plan. So firstly, for nominated supervisors, this is where you can really be using your mentoring and leadership and development skills to work with your educators, and including intentional teaching in discussions about programs and curriculum development, really asking those questions of educators and team leaders about, picking a particular topic or a particular activity that might be being planned, or a particular piece of documentation you've seen, and just asking that question, what's the intention here? In a positive way, not sort of saying, well, I don't know what's going on here, so you need to tell me. It's about saying, what was your intention behind this? It looks like this was a really engaging experience for children. Can you talk to me about what the intentionality behind that was? How does it fit in with that practice of intentional teaching? It's one of those things that's kind of similar to critical reflection, and there's an overlay here, I think, with critical reflection, which is about educators questioning their intentions and questioning their biases and those kind of values and those kind of things. But this doesn't have to be negative. It can be positive, and getting educators comfortable with the idea that they have to explain their intentions in ways that, where they don't feel defensive but feel positive about it, that, if you can get to that point, and it may take, a little while to get to that point. And look, you may already be there, of course, but if this is, a series you're exploring to learn more about the different elements of the National Quality Standard, that's something you can definitely think about, making that a positive experience for people. And the best way to do that is to do it regularly. People become more familiar with new things when they're just happening regularly, and they see that the rest of the centre is doing it as well. And then, that idea of leadership as well. Bring this back to professional identity. This is a really good way to talk up your team and make them feel good about themselves. Bringing this back to professional identity. This idea that we're not bystanders in the learning process. We don't just sort of, set up the environment and then stand back and hope children learn something. And we just sort of all wait for the children to come to us with an interest that we can follow. We're qualified professionals who collaborate and engage with children, and we are hugely involved in the learning process. So we need to hold ourselves in a bit of higher esteem, I think, there. And then the quality improvement plan. This is an interesting one, because a lot of this is around that work with your educators, who sort of developing those skills around intentional teaching. So a lot of it is just that understanding of what the intentional teaching principle is and how it is reflected in your particular community and program. So the first one's pretty basic. I would just go, all educators have a strong knowledge of the intentional teaching principle of the NQF. Of the early years learning framework, I should say, and my time, our place, and that can be done just through discussion at a staff meeting. You might be able to find some other PD online available, but I would just read that part of the early years learning framework. It's only a couple of paragraphs, and really get educators to think about what that means. How does it connect with the work they do? And then the other one is a bit trickier, because how you sort of meet this one might be very specific to your team, but it would be, educators are able to articulate why they do what they do. That's really what this element is getting at. Why are we doing what we're doing? And you might have a range of different ways to do that. Maybe you'll have an intentional teaching component to some of your documentation. You might have a weekly focus for families where you sort of pick one specific thing in your service and you talk about the intentional teaching behind that. There are a range of different ways you could do that, but that's really the crux of this element. We're being able to explain why we do what we do. All right, thanks again for listening, everyone, and thanks again for supporting us. We really appreciate it. I'll be back next week with element 1.2.2. We're already one standard down. So until then, it's goodbye from me.